You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is no stranger to KTP, a friend of the station's and the community for many years, is John White, and he is the gardening curator for the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens. And John, thank you so much for being with us here today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Louis.
Now, as we discussed before the program, and want to let our audience know, this is going to be a two-part. After Christmas, we'll have another episode. But one of the things that you and I have discussed in years past is, as the holiday season approaches, people will go out and, you know, buy different plants, different trees, live Christmas trees, stuff like that. Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the plants and the poinsettia, which I guess is the most popular, and then also the Christmas cactus. And what do people need to look for when purchasing these?
Well, you want to look for freshness. I mean, poinsettias, the breeders have done a lot of things with poinsettias, and you can get, you know, almost all kinds of different colors, and you can get, you know, striping and everything else in the leaves and in the bracts, which are a lot of people call the bloom, and they're just modified leaf, a bract. And the flowers, actually, the little yellow pieces in the center there. If the poinsettia is in full bloom where the little flowers in the very, very center are real prominent, then the plant is pretty much kind of reaching maturity, per se. So the plant is at its prime right then. And so if you were purchasing, going to utilize it in the home right away, then that'd be a fresh plant right then. But if some of the little blooms, little flowers are beginning to fall off, then the plant's beginning to age a little bit. I mean, it's still going to keep its colored bracts for a while, but it won't be as fresh as one with fresh flowers on it. Or if you have one that has blooms that haven't opened yet and they're getting ready to, then, you know, those time-wise might open, you know, during Christmas, whereas the ones that are open now will be gone by the time Christmas comes around. And so you want to look for freshness, but you want to look over the plant entirely. If it has leaves that are beginning to drop on it and stuff, it could be where, you know, it was kept out, if it was kept inside a store, it didn't get adequate sunlight or light quality, and some of the lower leaves will begin to fall.
So the leaves, are you saying, are the red things that we see?
Well, the red things are a modified leaf called a bract. The true green leaf that's below the colored leaves are your true leaves. But as you go up the plant and you get into the colored part, those are the bracts, and those are a modified leaf.
And as you mentioned, growers have done so many things with them. Sometimes, you know, people will look at size and they'll say, well, if it's big, it's beautiful, it's better. But that doesn't always mean that it's a better plant, correct?
Right. You want to kind of look for the freshness on it and how healthy it is. And, you know, if the stems are little pencil-thin stems, so you want nice, sturdy stems on the plant and the leaves, you know, to be nice, turgid, set out, have good color on them, don't have holes in them or brown spots or, you know, things like that. Or if you touch it, the leaf falls off. So you want to, you know, make sure you pick a healthy plant, because a lot of them, you know, put in a store and they're kind of bunched up together and they don't get adequate sunlight. So you'll start to lose some of the leaves on the lower part of the plant. Some will begin to yellow and, you know, begin to fall off. Also, watering, you know, when the plants are put in the cellophane decorative outer baskets there, you know, when they're watered, a lot of times that water will drain out and it fills in that plastic bag, so to speak, and the water sits there, and so the plant sucks the water back up that it just drained out, so it can stay too wet. So a lot of times, once you brought the plant home, if you do water it in the sink, but take it out of the plastic bag, water it in the sink, let the, you know, water drain through. It should be a good draining soil mix that's in there. But let the water drain through, and then once it's finished draining through, you can put it back in the sack. But don't water it in the sack, because the water goes through and it sits in that sack, and then it sucks it back up, so it stays too wet and you'll rot some of the roots off.
So most of the plants, that the flowers that we see here around the Christmas holidays, where do they usually come from? Where are they?
A lot of them are grown in commercial greenhouses, and they're grown under, you know, specific conditions. controlled atmosphere, so to speak. So they're grown under the right temperatures, and they're grown under the right light quality, and they're fertilized and kept looking good. Now, when people bring them home, the light quality is not the same as it was in the greenhouse, and
the heat,
the temperature may be different. Yeah, you got the furnace blowing, and all of a sudden they're too hot, or draft of a door. Sometimes they're too cold. Conditions change a lot once you bring them inside the house, so you do like to keep them in a fairly well-lit location, has bright light, and not too cold, not too hot. So you want to kind of keep it in 68-degree area, something like that, and it'll last a lot longer. Sometimes people let them get a little dry, and they'll begin to wilt, and you may get some leaf drop and stuff. You want to catch them before they go to wilt, because if they go to wilt, then you're going to lose those leaves, and they aren't going to grow back for a while. So you're going to lose the quality of that poinsettia, so you want to make sure that it does get watered, but you don't want to keep it overly wet.
You mentioned temperature, and I think some people might assume that because it's a Christmas plant, that it's okay for it to be in the cold or not too warm, etc.
Yeah, they'll actually freeze, so you don't want to subject them to extremely low temperatures, but when you're getting furnace blowing and it's 75, 80 degrees in the house and then drops down to 65, you know, that variation really runs havoc on plants. So you want to try and keep the temperature a little bit more on the even side, so you don't have those big heat spells and then cold and heat and cold, because that plant doesn't know what's going on.
As I mentioned at the beginning, we're talking with John White, who is the garden curator of the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens. And because you deal with a lot of native plants, and the native plant sale is, you know, just around the corner before we know it, what about Christmas cacti?
Well, Christmas cactus is...
Is it a native plant?
No, it's not a native plant.
Because some people assume because it says cactus.
Yeah, you have cactus from all over the world. Cactus grow in different parts of the world, and some of them grow in very tropical areas, don't handle cold hardly at all, and yet cactus that are native to our area are very cold hardy, and so they can handle cold temperatures, but they don't bloom like the Christmas cactus. So Christmas cactus is a little bit of a finicky plant because it needs certain light quality patterns to really make it bloom. And so a lot of times people have had them. I used to know a lady that had one that belonged to her mother, and this lady was, you know, in her mid-70s. She estimated was probably close to 100 years old, this Christmas cactus. And so it was still growing from, you know, the original plant. So she had done very well keeping that thing going for, you know, 50, 60 years. And it was still blooming and stuff. But once it finds a spot it really likes and gets the good light, because it does need light to trigger it into blooming. But it is a beautiful, beautiful plant. And
is there anything specific that they need to do, like after the holidays, to take care of it?
After the holidays, again, probably the worst thing that people do is overwater. So you want to be careful about not giving it too much water. And it does need a fairly bright light. So you don't want to put it off in a dark corner or something and forget about it, because it does need to be taken care of. And you like to find an east-facing window that has a fairly bright light, but not a strong west sunlight that's, you know, almost too strong. So you want a bright light. So east windows usually work best, because you don't really catch the direct, you know, a little bit of morning sunlight, but not the real scorching afternoon sun.
Let's get down to the Christmas tree now, and people are talking about throwback and nostalgia. Some people want to go out and cut their own tree, and the Forestry Service does issue permits, but how do you select a good tree when you're out there in the forest, John?
Well, when you're out in the forest, tree selection, depending, you know, again, what forest you're in, sometimes you're looking more at pine species and not so much spruce and fir, but sometimes you will find some. But again, the Forest Service will tell you where you can cut at and those kind of things. But usually want to look for a tree that has a little bit of the Christmas tree shape to it. And so a lot of people like to do spruce and fir because they have a little bit more of that conical shape that fulfills your idea of a Christmas tree. Now, if you're Charlie Brown, you can do the you know, ugly tree, or, you know, take a tree. Just ideas is having the tree for the Christmas season, so you don't need to worry so much about having a formally looking Christmas tree, because you can do a lot of things with decorations. But a tree can be a tree that you find growing on the ground, or you may look at a tree that's 15 feet tall, but you see the top 5 or 6 feet of that tree looks good. And so you may cut it at 5 foot, so you get a 5 foot tree off there. And the stump that you leave, that tree will put out another shoot, and, you know, 2 or 3 years, it'll grow another little branch, or, you know, tree, if you want to call it another.
The tree that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it keeps on giving. So in commercial tree farms, they actually have a method called stump pruning, where they do come in and cut all the way down to the first whorl of branches at the bottom of the tree, and they leave that because that will produce new trees, so to speak. So they take the top part off and leave the bottom. So in the wild, you can do that, and that way you're not killing the tree, you're leaving the tree for regrowth.
What about after Thanksgiving? We see this, I don't know what kind of fertilizer they lay down in these parking lots, but amazing trees start showing up with fences around them. How do you select a Christmas tree from one of the lots?
Christmas tree from a lot is sometimes hard to pick, because they do have some tricks of the trade where they, you know, get them to hold their needles a little longer, and they spray antidesiccants and different things like that on the tree. So if the tree has a somewhat of an artificial color to it, so it doesn't really have the true color, and if you look at it closely, you notice some of the bark is green, and, you know, you got this dye that's been put on it. You know that tree's been cut for a while, and they've put that material on it to make it, you know, last longer. So you like to find a tree that's fresh, and, you know, if you can find one that's been kept in moisture, either water, and if it has been kept in water, you want to make sure the water's been changed on a regular basis, so it's not just sitting in water that's stagnating. So you want to put fresh water, and of course, the freshness helps if you can come in and make a fresh cut at the bottom of the tree and then immediately put the tree in water, and hopefully that part that you've cut off where all those water conducting tissue that has been plugged up from it being cut is now exposed and open. So hopefully as it evaporates water off the needles, it will pull water up through the base of the tree, through the fresh cut area, so you keep the tree hydrated, so it's more fresh. So you don't really want your water basin to run out of water, so you always want to keep it there. But looking for, you know, needles, you can kind of run your hand on the tree, and if needles come off in your hand, then the tree's probably gone through some kind of stress, or it's been cut for a long time. So you want to try and find a fresher one, and then once you found one, you don't want to keep it in the house for too long a period of time. So I'd say 10 days, 2 weeks max, because then the heat starts getting to the tree, and eventually the tree starts dropping needles and needs to go to the mulch pile.
Well, John, thank you so much for taking time to be with us here today. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, this is just part one of a two-part Focus on Campus that John is going to share with us about what to do with your holiday plants and also some other plants outside the house. Thank you for being with us, John.
Thank you, Lou.
John White is our guest. He is the gardening curator for the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens here on campus. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Lauren Terrazas. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.